Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Welcome to everyone that is joining us online today for worship. I'd like for everyone in the house to please stand and pray a blessing. Start off. Father God, I thank you for every person that you have brought to our Antioch church home today. I want to thank you for each of their mothers on Mother's Day. In a room this size, there are hundreds of stories and experiences with our mothers and how you chose to start our stories from birth with them. I'd ask for your invasion of grace, forgiveness where it might be needed, gratitude and blessing upon every mother that played a part in the stories of my brothers and sisters here today. Amen. Please remain for a reading of the word. Join me. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Psalm 71:6. From birth, I have relied on you. You are from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. Now remain standing. And if you are the mother of child, an adult, if you're a spiritual mother or a mentor of any kind, which I would assume is every female in the house of the Lord, would those around you please extend a hand and pray a blessing and honor you today. Thank you. You may sit down. My name is Carol Roberts. I'm excited to be with you here today. My prayer is that the sharing of myself and God's encouragement for you to live in the overflow is meaningful, not just for the mothers today. I believe this is the hope for men and women and young and those that have traveled with Jesus for decades. Dan and I have been married 36 years. I was reminded in worship that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was 16 years old. I was at a camp on a tennis court. Dan was 27 years old doing full-time ministry and rewrote the words to an old Willie Nelson song. My hero's always been cowboys. My hero's always been Jesus. And I had a full surrender to Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful he gave me that memory. It was a little off script. I'm going to show you a picture of my family. We're very full. This is a picture of all three of our young adults who are married, and my two granddaughters, and my mom, who I want to honor on Mother's Day. She was an amazing mother, 86 years old, and lives with my brother and my sister-in-law. I'm grateful for their tender care of her. Recently, Dan and I were at a fabulous family wedding. We were in Austin, and I got a text message from Jamie. I asked if it was urgent and if I needed to call. And he assured me that I could call him on the way home. I thought it had to do with pre-service prayer, which is a really meaningful place for me, or maybe the Switzerland mission trip, which I'm thrilled to be a part of with some of my brothers and sisters in the room. On Sunday, after the festivities, Dan and I called on the drive home. We were headed up 35, and the blue bonnets were busting on both sides of the road. They were so beautiful this year and lasted a long time. Jamie and Kim were on the phone, and Jamie asked me to share on Mother's Day. He mentioned that Lindy had told him that I had shared at the Wisdom for Moms and prepared and talked about my journey of love and letting go. And she thought it would be a blessing today and not just for mothers. So I paused at the request, never dreaming that I would do this. I told him Dan and I would talk about it, and that I would pray that if the Father felt like he had something encouraging to share with you through me, that I would do it. And as I prayed, I was reminded of the deep value of sharing our experiences for strength and hope. So my hope is that some of my personal story and the hope of Romans 15:13 encourages you today. The main idea for today is to position yourself for the filling up of God's provision in the journey of balancing love and letting go, and to live in the overflow with the Spirit of God as you carry hope. On a personal note, I carry deep and genuine sensitivity on Mother's Day. Some of the women in the room may be thriving in motherhood. Some may be really struggling with motherhood. Some may be waiting for that season, and it may not be a part of your story at all. I've had several close friends who lost their young adults to tragedies in the last few years, and two of my good friends have lost their mothers in the last week. A lot of sensitivity. When I was 10, my father drowned in a terrible hunting accident. His body was never found, and it left me with a sadness, some confusion, and a hole in my heart on Father's Day. I share that God met me in the sorrow as my heavenly Father, and I have treasured memories of my Father this side of heaven. So I have empathy for the sadness that may be in the room, and I also want to share the joy of the celebration of Mother's Day. Dan and I had 5 years before we started our family in 1992 while living in Nashville when we had our son, JD. At that time, I was running the pediatric surgery clinic at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital. Dan was an aspiring songwriter, and he had a small construction company and was building homes. It was at this time that I approached a woman to mentor me. I was part of a small group Bible study and took a systematic theology class at our church. These experiences prepared me for much of the love and letting go that I could never have prepared my own heart for, and only the sovereign God knew what would be ahead. I'm thankful for the high value that Antioch has on intentional discipleship for everyone, for the young and for the old. In the many seasons of life, it's proved to be one of the most valuable things for me through the years in the honest journey, right? We're called to have an honest journey with the Father and growing in Him. In 1994, we were blessed with our daughter, Austin. We came home from the hospital and Dan said, "We are one-on-one." We were growing in a really strong Christian community like this with a lot of adventure and laughter. It was at this time that Dan's music career took off. The Lord had brought Garth Brooks into his life, and he was asked to open the world tour with his best friend. This is not anything we expected to happen. It was all about the relationship. It was not about the music. I began to process and prepare, not just for the excitement, but really, as a mother, how this was going to impact my family. The tour launched, and we lived the next 2 years with a ping-pong lifestyle on tour buses, on airplanes, and in crammed Suburbans. All of a sudden, I had a need for a nanny, a homeschool curriculum, and a double baby shower. None were on my list. And much to our surprise, we were blessed with our most amazing child, Maggie. I'm convinced, and I share openly, what a miracle she is. There are few words for how blessed we are by her vibrant presence. She is so close to the Lord. And at this time in our life, Dan was touring and I was staying home, and we were full house. We spent the next 3 years in Nashville laying a solid foundation of love with what we called Team Roberts before moving to Aledo, Texas, for Dan to pursue his music dream. I found myself like everyone else in the room, with moment-by-moment opportunities to die to myself, to love others, most who could not really even articulate their needs at this time in their life, and countless experiences to show up and not give up. Like each of you in life, and for me in the new space of motherhood, I began to practice being fully present in the normal rhythms of routine and asking the Spirit to equip me and respond to His sensitivity as led. One of the greatest blessings is I have tasted the goodness of God. I love that song that Aaron and the worship team brought today. About a front row seat to watch and witness unbelievable works of the Lord. I took up the practice of journaling. It's a high value in this church body. To remember and mark the unquestionable work of the Lord in our lives. 4 years ago, our church was in the middle of the Nathan Initiative. On November 3rd of 2019, there was this amazing evening in this unfinished space. There was praise and there was worship, a real dedication of the house of the Lord. Many of you were here that evening. I can picture seeing you. Maggie, our youngest daughter, and I came to the worship night and I stood right over there. I was in a really, really difficult place in my life. I was in need for the Father to restore my hope and my peace. I had very little peace. We were asked to write a verse somewhere in the unfinished space. After prayer and worship, I grabbed one of those permanent markers, and I got down on my face right by that pole, and I wrote Romans 15, 13. And I have hung my heart on that verse. Someone in the Antioch body took a picture of me that night, and the next morning it popped up on social media. I was in shock, and I was so thankful that that moment of my surrender and posture was captured for me to have. Last spring, I began to prepare for the transition of retirement. I don't know who in the room has experienced that. It was a big transition for me. I was at Cook Children's as lead for the leukemia lymphoma research team. I had a beautiful career in pediatric oncology. My mother, who you saw earlier, is aging and lives with my brother and sister, and I needed and desire to be more present. I asked my two daughters to pray in Romans 15, 13, that I would live in the overflow and I would lean in. Austin, our middle daughter, framed this photo for me as a retirement gift. She resurrected that photo out of her own photo album and gave it to me. As we passed it around the table, my astute son-in-law said, "Do you realize that this was November 3rd, 2019, and today is November 3rd, 2023? You can't make that up." As I considered an encouraging word for myself and for each of you in the room, my heart was drawn to the wellspring and the richness of this truth. Please say it with me. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you up with peace. You trust in Him so that you can overflow hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the God of hope. Hope means to desire with expectation of obtainment or fulfillment and to expect with confidence. Psalm 62:5 says, "My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him." As I consider the places that I've needed the greatest hope in Him, in my motherhood journey, I picture myself a couple real places. I needed hope at the hospital bedside at Cook Children's Medical Center in 2000, right after we moved here, with a dream. We weren't even out of moving boxes. Our six-year-old daughter was diagnosed with a massive brain tumor. 2 years later, she experienced a devastating relapse, 22 brain surgeries, and 2 episodes of post-surgery meningitis, with brilliant physicians looking us in the eyes saying, "We have got very little hope for healing." A long, arduous journey. Her healing was a miracle of God. She's the one that framed the picture. Hope, when we moved from Nashville, Tennessee, my children were uprooted from a beautiful life, living near cousins in a Christian community like this, halfway across the country for a dream. I think about that transition and my heart shifts to my newfound friends here. Deanne, and Emily, and Julie, as they move back across the globe after years of mission work to recalibrate their families, live in the United States and call this place their home. May we all continue in the sanctification stories and grow in the confidence that He is the supplier of all of our hope. Fill me up with all joy and peace as I trust in You. Like You, I have learned that I cannot muster up my own joy and peace. I can fake it for a while, but the true radiance and inner peace does not and cannot come from me. Personally, I just have too much junk, emotion, and stuff that bubbles up to give the people I love the most, mainly my family, my husband, joy and peace, let alone others. Peace, the rest that allows me to surrender the fears, anxious thoughts, and worry. This year, I feel like Jesus said, I had so much more space being retired. Come, let me disciple you. So I find myself reading His word, sitting with Him, and imagining being with Christ in these experiences. Like in the boat when He calmed the water, on the mat when He said, "Come on down, I'm going to heal you." In the upper room, the Gospels are getting my full attention, and I desire His presence and sit quiet with His word, aware of the living word, the Spirit of God. As a mother of young children in later years, working mother, I found this to be challenging. Too busy and overwhelmed to ask for the filling, for the peace and the joy. I want to encourage you, don't take the low road. Don't do that to yourselves. Invite Him in to your kitchens, your carpools, your yard work. And of late, as I've aged, I've learned the value of inviting Him into my sleep. It's been so good. The Spirit of God is in you, and that reality should be your greatest comfort. In the journey of love, there's trusting, this trusting that goes on, like letting go. And then there's the invitation to the full surrender. It's different than letting go. Letting go, as a mother, I found myself entrusting His children back to Him when it was hard and scary and terrifying. I reflect and consider not just what He provided for them, but what He did deep inside of me in the letting go. The faith that was laid, the solidarity of my letting go for the larger surrenders ahead, living from the inside out, needing my Father's sovereign care. The full surrender for JD and Austin and Maggie happened less frequently, unexpected, and more in traumatic moments. Each of the children gave me opportunities, just like yours have given you, to grow in my faith. And here are a few highlights. I've already shared about Austin's 2-year battle with brain cancer, but then there's this Life After Cancer program. You go back for 10 years for more MRIs, like hoping there's not another relapse. I know there's someone out there that can relate to that. Deeply embracing the miraculous healing that led to the Jane and John Justin Neuroscience Center. Justin Cowboy Boots, they partnered worldwide. Unbelievable. What I haven't shared is her first craniotomy from her first diagnosis when she was 6 was November 3rd of 2000. We didn't realize this when I sat with the Cook leadership and we made this succession plan. In 2020, Maggie, our youngest daughter, she felt like the Lord told her, she grew up in the Antioch movement, so she felt like the Lord told her that he was going to move her to a place that started with a B. I thought, well, that's interesting. So she wrote that in her journal to mark that. And she began raising funds to move to Burma. And I thought about Sandy, our precious sister Sandy's headed there. All of a sudden, COVID broke out. The mission trip was canceled. She took a job with Samaritan's Purse. So late that October, Dan and I were moving her into her space. It was dark. We were at the back of the U-Haul. And she looked at me. She said, "Mom, God brought me to Boone, North Carolina. I did hear God." Wow. I think the Antioch Worldwide Mission is beautiful. But honestly, as a mother in the middle of the pandemic, that love and letting go, wow, that was really next level for me. He taught me so much about myself, about my beautiful, faithful daughter, and about his sovereignty. Today, Maggie and her husband, Logan, are walking the streets of Turkey, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ on an Antioch Boone mission trip. He's so good. God is so good. JD, our most adventuresome son, makes his living as a farrier, an outfitter, and a fly fishing guide. Jim Reynolds is here. He is helpful in growing that business. We're grateful for you, brother. In 2016, JD decided to go backcountry snow skiing in New Mexico. Dan and I are sitting at the Sugar Bowl with our 2 daughters on the 50-yard line, watching a dear friend who we loved play. He was the University of Texas. It was a true highlight. All of a sudden, I've got 6 missed calls from JD's best friend who has never called me. And we find out that New Mexico is called a state of emergency, with 27 rescue team members searching for JD and his friend. Dan and I flew immediately to Ruidoso, and they prepared us for the reality of not finding them in avalanche country. After living through my father's accident and my daughter's journey, I thought, this is surreal. After hours missing, the young men were found by skilled individuals who had stayed up all night in a search and rescue mission. The love and letting go, this was probably one of my greatest invitations to surrender my son to God's plan that I might not ever understand. Many of our friends and young adults here are graduating. I just talked to Ava, headed to Rice. That's exciting. Let me pause and just say congratulations on all of your accomplishments. So many on both sides of the room. And parents, congratulations to you as well for loving them and launching them into whatever their what's next is. I remember this great mixture of excitement and celebration, along with this sadness and this kind of loss in the transition these young adults who you have loved and poured God's love and truth into will maybe be leaving your home or moving across the country for a job. I remember taking JD to West Texas A&M. As an intentional mom, you know, we did the checklist, went to Bed Bath & Beyond, drove him to campus, kissed him goodbye. And in the next week, he changed roommates and living situations three times. I thought, this is overrated. Maggie was our last to leave. We took her to Baylor. We came home to a very, very quiet house. It was a lot of transition. My spiritual mentor and mother once told me, do not get lost in the transitions of life. And I took my pen and I wrote that in the front of my Bible. I thought, I'm going to hang on to that one. It was good. Dan has a line in a song that says, love and letting go go hand in hand. I think that is all of our stories, whether you're a mother or not. I went on a hike recently with one of my dear friends, and as we're walking down this beautiful trail at the nature reserve, which I highly recommend, she holds out both of her hands, like she's weighing this balance of joy and sadness. And then the very next Wednesday, I'm at Life Group, and I'm sitting with Trish Durand. She's talking about this uncharted territory, like launching her daughter, taking her to college. It's so exciting. And then there are real tears. I ran into Ashley Pogdanoff after church a few weeks ago. Her daughter's a brain tumor survivor. I asked her how it was going. She said, you know, we know there's this remnant piece of the tumor that's still slow growing. We don't know exactly what we're supposed to do. And then we've got to live. Like, I've got kids. Like, we're living life. Like, you got to walk in these balances, right? It's real for everybody. As a young mother with dear spiritual girlfriends, I'd go on these long walks and talk about the invitation to walk tethered to the Trinity. Found myself needing more self-care while I was constantly being poured out. People needing me. My heartbeat was to live a healthy body, mind, spirit, and emotion and be the hands and feet of Christ. Like y'all, I know that's your heart, right? That self-care piece, it's really difficult, and it's so important. At times, I found myself lost in my identity. It's a real challenge. Like, I'm a mother, I'm a father, I'm an athlete, I'm a doctor, I'm a missionary, a pastor. For me, I was a clinical research coordinator, and I learned with the help of others and some that I paid for really good counseling to not get lost in those roles and identities, but for our identity to be in Christ and what He did on the cross for you. I've learned to be kinder to myself, gentler with myself. I've learned to be compassionate in times of trouble and to offer myself the grace that I so desire to pour out to others. So much easier to give than receive. Like each of you, I've experienced the invitation to sit in the throne room wherever we are, in our cars, in our gardens, on the golf courses, in the duck blinds, at our desks, at the table with those we love to break bread with, and in our closets, on our knees. Open access dialogue, process, pray, share our hearts with the living God. Prayers for my children to know Him and put Him in His proper place. And prayers for me to know Him and put Him in His proper place. Been given endless opportunities to sit in the confidence of who He is and the promises of letting go. Things like fear, anxiety, control, trying to fix everyone and everything around me. It's exhausting. Not just for me, but for everybody else in the room that I share space with. Not giving up and learning to contend when we need to, really contending for those that we love and that we're burdened for, believing for the healing and the victory that we know has been won. We're in this space. Sacred work of learning to hold both things authentically is what we've been called to live. The real experiences and opportunities to live with the Trinity and sit in the fullness of His character and provision. These are the experiences that shape us and our faith so that we can overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Overflow means to fill to capacity and speed beyond limits. I love this. There's always spaces to overflow and carry hope in our daily lives. Let's all agree, we can't do it by ourselves. We have to walk in the truth that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4, we must believe that the Spirit of God, such a mystery that it lives in us, and our faith that God's great story of the power of his death and resurrection and leaving us his Spirit, it's the key to us operating to beyond our capacity and understanding. And Romans 8:11 says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies because the Spirit who lives in you. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and the Spirit dwells in your midst? So I would say, what does this overflow look like? I'd say, look around you. And I'm going to ask you to do that right now. Some of you may know each other, some of you may not know each other. But I am telling you, it is happening in this Antioch Fellowship. I see it in the leadership. I see it in the worship team, in the discipleship school, in life groups, and on the mission endeavors. I know that the hope and truth of the word and life with Jesus is taught in the children's ministry, in the youth, in the college ministry. Bless y'all. I saw it at World Mandate. I'm going to end on this. In February at World Mandate, we were in this room, and Jimmy Seibert did a beautiful teaching proclaiming God's glory through all generations. We were worshiping with hands held high. Can we agree on the powerful and mighty things that we've experienced in this room that we've prayed for and hoped for and believed in with Jesus? Maggie, our youngest daughter, who was part of this Antioch body, she was standing next to me. Samaritan's Purse had flown her in completely unexpected to do a film project. And in the middle of worship, I would not say that I heard the audible voice of God, but I had a very crystal clear thought that descended deep into my soul. And it said, be discipled by your mother. She's 86, you saw her. She's losing her vision. I retired to spend more time with her. Wow, on the way home, we're processing this. My dear friend Michelle, 40 years, was here visiting for World Mandate. She'd just lost her husband and her mother within 48 hours of each other. The sharing was rich. What we can learn, the love and care of our aging parents. As I said before, November 3rd, I retired from a beautiful career at Cook Children's Medical Center, 4 years to the day after I wrote Romans 15:13 by that poll, and 24 years to the day that Austin had her first craniotomy in that same hospital. All of that was unplanned by me and totally planned by the Father. I am listening, he has my full attention. I can hear Jamie's words of late, you know, be alert. I encourage you, be alert to what the Spirit is doing. As God moves each of us in and out of sacred work, he is so faithful, always leading us into the what's next. In the overflow with the opportunity to be discipled by Jesus and others in our life. I encourage you in the key points. He is the supplier of all our hope. May our hope and expectation be from him. First, we must fill up with joy and peace and practice his presence and invite the peace in, love and letting go, and trusting those we love to him. And do not get lost in the transitions of life. Live in the overflow by the power of the Spirit of God who lives in you. So I would ask you this morning on Mother's Day, whether you're a mother or not, where do you find yourselves in the love and the letting go? Do you need his hope to invade your heart and fill you up? Are you being asked to let go of something or someone? Surrender someone you love. Do you believe, do you really believe that his peace can flow through you and that you can overflow by the power of the Spirit? That's what he says in his word. At this time, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. The worship team is going to come back up to the stage. And the ministry team is going to come up front. We have this beautiful thing we do at our church. So the ministry team is going to come up. And these are individuals who desire to pray with you and for you. If you have a need today, I would just say, don't be shy. Come up and allow a brother or sister to partner with you in the journey and minister to you today.